Isaiah chapter 10, I'm sure this has been
that's been referred to this week, but just thinking about the anointing of God in verse 27, it shall come to pass that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. And we understand that Israel was under great persecution and great oppression with the Assyrian army. We see that here in verse 24. And God is saying, because of the anointing of God, you will have the ability to not only be rescued, but to find a ministry in the oppression. So sometimes as believers, we're looking for things to end and for things to turn around. But God is saying, you're going to find me in it. You're going to find a ministry of me in your difficulty. And I will take away the yoke from your neck. I will take away the oppressor. I will take away the pressure of the enemy, and he will ultimately be destroyed. And we saw the Assyrians were destroyed, and our enemies are defeated. And experientially, we will see that, and we will experience that. But I want us to just think with you about the anointing. How is it that the anointing really has the authority in our life? We understand the anointing being really, in 1 John chapter 2, 27, it's really the ministry of the Spirit in a believer's life. There's an eternal weight that is added to the believer's life. Maybe as they are walking with God, they are consecrated and sanctified and going positive to the Word of God. God will give them an unction and give them a special ministry that will give them an edge that will have an eternal weight, so that the devil will be defeated in our word, in our action, and in the demonstration of the faithfulness of God. Well, in the church, we really see the value of the anointing, that eternal weight. Maybe you've been in a church service and you can really sense the presence of God. You can really sense the move of God, the free flow of the Spirit. When someone comes to a church and they're not expecting that, or maybe they're looking for other things, they will be disappointed, possibly, because their expectation is in a natural need being met versus a spiritual need being met. So really, the church is such a key place to experience the anointing. Why? Because in Hebrews 13, 7, we see, first of all, that the leadership or the demonstration of those that are leading you and I, we follow their faith. We follow their faith. And so faith has a specific anointing. It has a specific demonstration that breaks natural thinking, that breaks limited or short-sightedness. It breaks through just doubt and cynicism. Faith pleases God. So when we follow people's faith, we are learning how to relate to the anointing. And I'd like to think about that with you today. So many compare themselves with others and say, I wish I was like that person. I wish I could do what they do. And they sometimes they degrade themselves, and that's what happens, obviously, with comparison or criticism, is that one must leverage themselves above, or if they have a pseudo-humility, they leverage themselves below because they don't recognize the anointing in their own life. They don't recognize it. Psalm 45:7, God says, I have anointed you. What a great statement. Think about that. You are anointed where you are. God has given you, he's smeared the oil on your life, the work of the Spirit. But just think about that in the church for a minute, that literally we are learning how to relate to the anointing. When the Word of God is being preached, we have the highest form of concentration, as the highest form of worship is concentration on the Word of God. And all of a sudden, the words are anointed. They pierce through the doubt. They pierce through and answer questions that maybe we didn't even know we had. So in the church, there's a demonstration of the anointing because we're following people's faith. If we're following people or following programs or if we're following maybe our own idea of church or how church should be and we're more like consumers, then we will be disappointed. But if we're following the faith of God demonstrated, as David said, he is weak, but he's anointed. So we see that in people in the church, the imperfect people that we are, surrounding ourselves with a perfect God. And that's where the anointing is demonstrated. And we're learning how to relate to that anointing. We're learning how to recognize that anointing. We're learning how to draw near and be a partaker of that anointing. Because God says each one of you has an anointing in 1 John 2:20 and 27. Well, think about that word anointing being an unction. I thought of that today, a motivation, something that pushes you forward or something that energizes you, where you're commissioned by God, you're mobilized in the Spirit. And in previous broadcasts, we've heard that the gifts of the Spirit often are a demonstration of the anointing, really not just ability in our talent, but really a supernatural ability to function in the way of God or as an ambassador of God. But think about it, the word unction. I was thinking that the shout of a king is with the anointed in Numbers 23:21. Think about that. God is maybe giving you an unction to share your faith. And what's happening in the atmosphere on the anointed? Well, he is preparing the atmosphere. He is speaking through you and I, and there is a eternal weight. There is a piercing of the darkness because Christ is shouting over you in Zephaniah 3:17. We are resting in his love, but he is shouting over us. What is he shouting? Well, he's shouting at the atmosphere. He's shouting at anything unregenerated that surrounded us. He's shouting at the spiritual warfare. There's an unction. There's a work of the Spirit. So as we're learning to relate to the anointing, we're learning how to think with God and relate to God properly so we don't have a distorted view of God. Because how I look at God is how I look at myself. So if I have an objective understanding of who God is, then we'll have an understanding or an objective look at who God is. Well, I was reading this verse today, and it just made me, it encouraged me thinking of 2 Kings 13, verse 21. And when Elisha, when they were putting a man in the grave, and they threw this man in because of danger upcoming, they threw this man on the bones of Elisha, and guess what happened? That man came alive. That man came and stood up. What is that? Well, there was an anointing on Elisha's life. Just like the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's ministry is an anointing, so anointing can also rest on individuals. So that man that was dead, thrown into the same grave, he touches Elisha's bones and comes alive. I mean, that's pretty incredible. That is a work of the anointing. That's a work of God. That's a work of the impossible. We look at Elijah, who received the mantle from Elisha in 2 Kings 2:9, and he said, "Lord," he said, "give me a double portion." Give me a double portion, and think about that. Are we asking God for that today? That's my prayer. Lord, give me a double portion. Magnify the work of the Spirit in my life. Magnify the authority that is ours. May we walk in it, not just know it, but walk in the power in a personal way. And then that mantle comes. And one writer says there was two definitions to that double portion that I like. And we've heard the multiplication, obviously, Elijah's life would be represented in Elisha's life. But the second thing that he said that second portion would also be that no longer are you just a believer, a disciple, and one who is a worker of God, but now you're a spiritual father. Now you are a spiritual leader that are leading other people into a place of life and discipleship. So think about that. Give me a double portion. My portion, yes, we are ministers of life. We are people that are making a great God known and not getting in his way. We are second, he is first. But also that second portion, that double portion, is we are now a spiritual father. And I think that's what happened to Elijah, and he passed it along to Elisha. Elisha was a faithful man to Elijah. He served, he walked, he cared for, he obeyed, he saw miracles, he saw a tremendous activity and ministry of the anointing. And then as he is leaving, Elisha's saying, give me a double portion. And don't we want that from the Spirit today? We want a double portion of peace, not only for our own selves, but a ministry to those that are restless and that don't have peace. Lord, give me a double portion of boldness, not for our own self, but to declare the excellencies of God. Well, I want to show you an interesting verse here in Exodus 28, a verse that also brings home our point. Exodus 28:41. So thinking about the anointing, that smearing of the oil, they anointed each of the utensils there in the temple. Why? They consecrated or dedicated them to God for the work of God. And, you know, I love this in verse 41. So you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may be ministers to me as priests. And I love this verse because really that's where the anointing starts, doesn't it? In our own personal life, we are walking in a very, we're set apart unto God in a very personal way. We're in the fear of the Lord. And God says, not only am I going to give you eternal weight, but I'm going to set you apart. I'm going to purify you because in purity is our power. And then you're going to be ministers. And I just think today more than ever in this anointing, he's going to anoint us with fresh oil in 92:10 of Psalms. He's going to give us that double portion. Like we were in Atlanta this past weekend and just talking with people of just the message of grace. It's just such an astounding phenomena to me because we just think that everyone knows it. But it's the furthest thing from the truth. One man said to us, he said, I feel like I've been swimming in sand. I've been in church my whole life. But now this message makes me feel like I'm swimming in an ocean. What a difference. What is it? It's the anointing that comes in and breaks the yoke of legalism, the yoke of religiosity, the yoke of trying rather than resting and God giving the increase. It breaks the yoke of addiction. It breaks the yoke of lust. It breaks the yoke of greed and self-sulking and self-pity, self-orientation. The anointing breaks. It comes in. We go through the cross, and no longer are we living under the oppressor, but now we are functioning with the shout of a king in our life. Shout of the king. He's shouting over us. I love that. I don't know about you. I mean, when someone shouts, you know, it tends to get our attention. But when Christ is shouting, wow, it's incredible. The devil trembles because he knows in James 2:9, more than most believers, they believe and tremble. Talk to some Christians today, they don't even know what they believe. It's like, wait a minute, it's the anointing. So three things. The anointing commissions us. The anointing mobilizes us. And the anointing sets us apart for his work. Wow, what a day to be living in. You look at our day, the way the news is and things that are going on, and we say, Lord, we need a double portion. Lord, we need a triple portion. Lord, not only do we want to see you high and lifted up, but we also want to gather other people unto you so that they would know that they are consecrated and sanctified and ordained for something greater than themselves. Well, maybe you feel like that dead man that was thrown into Elisha's grave. What an amazing demonstration of the anointing, that even when he was dead, the anointing is there on his life, in his bones. And that dead man came to life because the anointing, the presence of God, the power of God rested on his life, because he simply continued with God by faith. Well, Psalm 45:7, don't lose that verse. God says, I have anointed you. I have anointed you. I've anointed you in that family. I've anointed you in that job. I've anointed you in that place of conflict. I've anointed you in that church. By the way, the church teaches us how to relate to God's anointing. You know what? Sometimes, let's put it this way. The Bible, Scripture, is always anointed. Why? Because it's God's word. It's a living word. So as we focus on that, on the written word, it becomes the living demonstration of God in my life. So if I come to church, I follow the faith of others. I think of Pastor Schaller and his tremendous demonstration over the years. Many here in our church, just his sold-out life. And we follow the way he follows God, and the way he just, in a childlike way, in a profound way, he is a follower, and God is giving the increase. And then we learn to relate, and we say, okay, Lord, use me, Isaiah chapter 6. You know, here am I, send me. And then what happens? The anointing commissions you. It mobilizes you. I think in our country, in the United States, this is a great day to be mobilized, to plant churches, to disciple, to preach the gospel, and not only be preachers, but be shepherds, to shepherd people, walking, to do the long walk, to handhold in that sense where, hey, come with me, come discover that your need is more than just your belly, your need is more than just your lust pattern, but your need is to know God and to connect with your eternal purpose, and to hear the shout of the King among you, to have the remnant return and be restored. Well, these are amazing thoughts today. Lord, anoint us for your glory. Anoint us, Lord. Let the oil in 133 Psalms, let it drip, let it be poured out like Mary wrapped Jesus in the spices, pounds and pounds of spices. Smear it, Lord. Let us be saturated with who you are. Let us be saturated with who you are. That's where our power is. That's where our provision is. That's where our peace is. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You keep going here. I love that thought.
Yeah. Well, we're going to. We're going to keep going. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Friday afternoon, and I want to thank you for being with us. I hope you enjoyed today's devotional message. We're going to continue to discuss the subject of the anointing and the principle of that anointing. And we hope that you will participate. This is the invitation where we extend to you, our listeners, to join us live on the broadcast. Quite simple, get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and you'll be with us live and sharing your thoughts with us and those that are tuning in and listening to the Grace Hour around the globe. 800-338-7060, that's toll-free in all of North America. And locally, it's 410-483-3700. And, of course, if you're calling us outside of North America, you too would dial 410-483-3700. These two verses, Pastor Jason, from the Amplified Bible in John's first epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, reads as follows. But you have been anointed by, that is, you hold a sacred appointment from, and you have been given an unction from the Holy One, and you know the truth. You know the truth. Then in verse 27, but as for you, the anointing, or that sacred appointment, and I think that that's what the anointing is. It's a sacred appointment. Mm. The unction which you've received from him abides, and this is good news, friends, permanently in you. Boy, that unction that comes, it comes to abide. I mean, we think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which I think in the Old Testament was, you know, the oil and the anointing oil was representative of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon whether they were priests, prophets, or kings. All of those were anointed. And for us, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we know that when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and he comes to indwell us, but he also comes to seal us. And that speaks of its permanence.
Beautiful. Yes. We can never lose him. We can never be separated from that love. We can never even take ourselves out of with any decision. It's a work. We're sealed to the day of redemption. Amen. Amen to that.
I love that, what it says, the sacred appointment.
Mm.
I mean, we have a calling. God has selected us. He's chosen us. And that, again, pertains to every born-again believer. Each of us called by God and chosen in him before the foundation of the world in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Mm. And how encouraging is that to know? Every day you wake up, you're not just, you know, dwelling here on the earth. You're not just standing on a planet, this mud heap that's, you know, revolving meaninglessly in this universe. We're called with a purpose. We've been chosen, placed here by God, and a sacred, sacred appointment.
Yeah, that's, I think we need to guard what's sacred in our life. The devil's always trying to infiltrate or hijack us and get us occupied with things that are outside the anointing. And if we were to think about this for a minute, that when we come to God just as we are, he really shows us our value in him. And really, he wants to break the burdens. He wants to release believers, to mobilize them. We see that all through the book of Acts, that persecution mobilized the church. And, we're tethered to Christ, but if we're tethered to things or difficulties, they can hijack and disrupt our emotions. And God is saying, I want to set you free so you can run with me. I want to set you free in that unction that you talked about.
Amen. Well, we've got lots of folks that are chiming in today on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Chido says, very happy to be here today. Ruth Castillo also says, good to hear because there is such soundness in the grace hour. Amen. And we have a brother, Vishal. I think that's how it's pronounced. Vishal, yeah, from the Greater Grace Fellowship in Mumbai, India. And he's asked for prayer. Please pray for my father, Anil, for his diabetic foot to be healed miraculously and also to avoid being readmitted to the hospital next week. Praying that God will help him make through this time. So, Father, we pray for Michelle's dad, Anil, and we pray for the healing of his foot. And we just ask that you would, again, because of the prayers of your people, and we're asking you to do it in the name of Jesus, touch him, heal him. We pray that he would avoid having to return to the hospital. I can imagine these days, anyone that has to go to the hospital, there are concerns about other potential illnesses that could touch you and find their way into your body. So, Father, we pray that that would not be necessary. A total and complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen. And our brothers and sisters are watching and listening in Pakistan. God bless you and thank you. We're praying for a brother there, paralyzed for 9 years, cannot walk, cannot speak. Could you do a miracle in his life, Lord? We know you can. We pray for both of these great needs today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, first half hour in the books. Another half hour coming right up, so if you can, stay right where you are. We'll be right back with you after a moment. And we're back with you live right here on the Grace Hour, friends. Thanks so much for staying with us. And if you've been parked here at gracehour.org, stay right where you are. And Facebook Live, YouTube Live, continue to be with us. And please, if you can, get to your phones and join us live on the broadcast, 800-338-7060, and locally 410-483-3700. And this young person, it's actually a 9-year-old child in Pakistan that has been paralyzed, has not even spoken since I'm understanding from birth. So, Father, we're believing you. We're asking you to do this. And we pray that you would do it so that your name would be exalted. You'd be glorified. Souls would be drawn to you. His mother, we understand, is just heartbroken over this over the past 9 years. But if you can do this miracle, and we know you can, but if it's your will, we pray for this amazing healing to happen and that you'd be glorified because of it. In Christ's name, amen.
Pastor Love, you hear something like that, it just totally breaks your heart. Mm-hmm. And you kind of think to yourself, like, why, Lord, a 9-year-old boy? And, you know, just thinking, you know, our ways are not, you know, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But, you know, to minister to the brokenhearted, God must first break your heart to minister to those that are in captivity. He must first captivate us. And in a situation like that, it's like God says, I must bring you deep. I must bring you in very deep so that the ministry that you have to others is not of yourself. It has to be anointed. It has to be something that's beyond ourselves. And I think in relating to the anointing, like someone may come into the church, we meet a lot of new people. It's amazing how we've grown in the pandemic, but a lot of new people, and a lot of people don't really understand the anointing. They come in, they're like, you know, I sense the love in here like I've never sensed, or the peace, or, you know, this is a strange place. I've never been to a place like this. And it's like as they hear the word, as they grow, as they continue, they begin to relate to the anointing. They begin to understand the mystery of God. In Ephesians 1, 14 through 18, it's like the spirit of revelation. And what happens is they learn to be a partaker of that anointing. And can I just read a quick verse here real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 1, 21, it says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I think you referred to that earlier, but I love that. He has anointed us. So it's more than just personality, and that's dangerous, isn't it? It's like charisma, you know, charismas are ultimately from the Greek word charis, but it's more than just charisma. It's more than just personality. It's a spirit. So,
amen. And Julie has written to us. She says, could you please pray for Olympia? She's in Pastor John Boyce's church in Great Britain. She's a precious woman, needs our prayers. So, Father, we do pray for Olympia. We don't have to know all of the details, but we know she has great needs. And we're asking you to meet those needs today by your grace and because of your great love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And then also Matthew has reached out to us, and he said, I'm just so grateful to be able to listen to the broadcast and to have my mind renewed. He said earlier, he said, I feel as though my mind had been hijacked, but I feel now that it's been renewed. Just by listening to the broadcast, there's some, you know, you just mentioned it. It's not us. It's the power of God's word and what it can do. It brings life. I mean, we, like Matthew said, we have souls in Psalm 119, verse 25, that cleave to the dust. What quickens us? The word of God, the scriptures. And when the word of God reaches us, this is why, you know, we don't read the Bible like we would read a novel. These are words of life. this Bible has power to reach us and to change us and to teach us and to instruct us and to give us wisdom, hope, and healing. And, well, we could go on and on with all that the scriptures do for us, but they make us wise men and women that results in salvation. I mean, there's no other book that I've ever read that led me to salvation.
There you go.
Even if it's a good book. You know, some people, you read a good book and say, this is such a good book, I want to read it again. You almost want to say, well, when you finish reading that book, did it bring you to salvation? But the scriptures, Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said, Timothy, you've known the scriptures since you were a child, and they have made you wise, and it's resulted in your salvation. You can't say that about any other book except the Bible.
Wow. I mean, one of the thousand names of Jesus is the Anointed One. He's the Anointed One. So as we have a Christ-centered faith, that's where the power is. It isn't in just fixing yourself up or behavioral modifications, but it's like throwing ourselves into the arms of God, collapsing and saying, there's no other option, there's no other way. You can make a way, Lord, and he can give us an anointing to live purely. He can give us an anointing to not live in fear. He can give us his anointing. He can give himself, actually, is a best way of to say that, to break through. And I like to think about this word mobilization. Like, this is a day, and I think many churches are, and I think our church, we're in the process of planting four churches here and abroad and in the United States. And to think that it's the anointing that gives us a love for people, because we don't have it, right? It gives us an anointing, the stamina to continue. It gives the anointing to believe it, even though we don't see it in reality. It's the anointing of God. And not that anyone's better than anybody else, and that is definitely, it should be made clear. It's just those that simply say, like David, I'm weak yet anointed. I'm surrendered and totally consecrated in this sense. I'm set apart unto God. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you that double portion. I'm going to give it to you. You want it? You asking for it? Come get it.
Amen.
Come get it.
Yeah, it's available. He's
come
ready to
get
it. Wow. Let's go to the phones. Pastor Duke Horton, he's joining us. First of all, and we have others waiting behind him, but Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. You may have mentioned this earlier. I didn't catch the right at the beginning, but I just wanted to mention on Grace Hour that you are coming to be with us next Friday, the 18th at 6 p.m., and we're having a youth event and a great pizza bash with young people. But it's also open to, you know, any other family members that would like to come. And we're really excited about you coming, Pastor Love, and the body here and the young people that we've been reaching out to are really looking forward to you coming. So that's Friday, February 18th at 6 p.m. And if anyone wants more info, they could contact the church office at 717-266-7979, and we're believing a great anointing for that evening.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, Pastor Duke. You've been out there in your community reaching these young people, and hopefully we'll have a good turnout. We'll bring a group up from right here in Baltimore. I know our Grace Hour engineer, Cody Walker, plans to join us, and we're just excited about coming up there and ministering to those young folks. We're going to have a great time together.
Amen. It's going to be an outpouring of grace, and I can't wait to just hear what God gives you to share. And I know that if anyone comes who's not saved, I'm believing that they're going to come to Christ, and they're going to walk out a brand new creature that night.
I like that vision, and we'll believe God together with you for that.
Amen. So thank you, Pastor Love. We love you, and Pastor Jason, love you too. You're awesome.
Thanks, brother. Right back at you.
God bless you, Pastor Duke. Thanks for calling. Let's go next to Pastor Sturge is joining us, I believe, from the Baltimore area. Pastor Sturge, welcome.
Thank you. When you were speaking, I was thinking of probably the shortest message ever preached, and yet one of the most anointed messages ever preached, and it was from the Word made Word. It was from Jesus himself in Luke 4. And it's amazing. Here is the incarnate Word of God. It says he comes to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And I was just picturing this as you were talking. He comes to Nazareth, his hometown, where he'd been brought up, went into the synagogue on the Shabbat, and stood up to read. And it was handed the book, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when Jesus, this is amazing. Here's the Word of God opening the Word of God. Mm. Jesus opened the book. He found the place where it was written. And this was his sermon. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Yes, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then that was it. That was his message. He closed the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And it says the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And I just think that defines the anointed, the anointing and the anointed message so well.
It certainly does. And, you know, I love about that passage, Pastor Sturge, is the way Jesus so carefully and rightly divided the Word of God. Coming, as he did in his first advent, he came to proclaim the message of the grace of God. Because he actually, when he finished that message, quoting from Isaiah, what we know, the Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, he didn't finish the second part of that second verse, which says, and the day of the vengeance of our God. He did not come at his first advent to talk about or to proclaim judgment and vengeance. He came in his first advent to talk about and to proclaim the grace of God, the free favors of God, which have profusely abounded. And that is incredible, the way he so carefully handled the scripture. Now, we know when he comes the second time, he comes with vengeance and judgment, and he will come down, set upon the earth once again at the end of the tribulation period at his second coming. And that's when all of that wrath and justice and punishment will be meted out to a Christ-rejecting, unbelieving world. But when he came the first time, he wanted us to know, I'm here to tell you about the grace of God.
Well, what a sermon that must have been.
Oh, no wonder why the eyes of all those in the synagogue were fastened upon him. I like that. They were fastened. When you preach grace, people's hearts are fastened on that message.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
God bless you, Pastor. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Let's go next to our next caller, Robin. Robin is joining us also from the Baltimore area. Robin, welcome.
Hi. I was just thinking, as Pastor Jason was talking about the anointing, like, I never really free enough to pray it for myself. And I can remember, like, I feel like really free to pray for the persecuted church for a double portion of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you know. And but I have this apprehension to pray that for myself. And as Pastor Jason was speaking, I realized that I can pray that for myself too. And it just was like fresh for me, you know, kind of new, because I can pray it for other people, but I just never thought about praying it for myself so much. And it's like a beautiful prayer that you, each one of us have the liberty of praying, you know, for ourselves, for our family, and for the church.
I'm so glad that you're saying that, Robin, and you know, it's not a prideful prayer at all. It's just an expectance. It's an expectancy from God that, Lord, I want all that you've planned to give, and just to think of your life, your whole family. I mean, you are disciples and pouring out and serving, and now I believe that God will raise up people to be gatherers beyond and in some cases even be spiritual fathers and mothers. And I know that term is should be understood in this sense, that we are shepherds and leaders, and being a caretaker of the character of God in people's personal lives. And yeah, that's a great prayer. It's like it's this. I prayed this prayer for a year. The Lord, show me your glory. That was another prayer I prayed. It just God showed that to me, and all of a sudden I started to see His glory in every little thing, and that changed my life and changed my perspective and changed my conversation. And someone says, "Oh, you're too positive," and it's like, "Wait a minute! No, no, no! God's glory is everywhere." And even in our difficulties, right, Pastor Love?
Yeah.
In our difficulties, right?
He has to show it to us.
Yeah.
He has to. And I think that when you're brought to a place in your life and you experienced it, Pastor Jason, but Moses also, I mean, God said to him, Moses, you can ask me for anything you want. I'll give it to you. And I think if I were in Moses' sandals, you know what I would have said? Let's beam up 2 million people and get them right into the promised land. Okay, let's not go through any wasting time and wandering in a wilderness and unbelief. And no, I might have asked for something. But Moses, you know, a person is breaking through to the maturity barrier when they say, God, I don't want anything except for you to show me your glory.
Mm.
That's when you know that you are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, that mantle could really be looked at as like the work of the Spirit. Like, think about Elijah. He was watching Elisha's life. He was close to Elisha. He was connected. And as believers, we need a pastor teacher. We need an example to be near and to learn. And even Elisha said, no, I can't do that, but if you're near me when I go, it'll drop. And sometimes that's how it is. It's like in the way, because we're close and because we're seeking the Lord will give a double portion of mercy. You know, this is not a prosperity undertone here at all, because that's not right, but just to say that this is a spiritual addition to multiplication, like peace be magnified, and the outpouring of grace. Like grace, any other message outside of grace is Maranatha. It's cursed. So, that's where the power is where Christ is magnified.
Amen. Robin, thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate the call. You could easily see how people could take a whole double portion and say, I want two houses, you know. One here and one, you know, down in the Caribbean. I want two cars. I want, two successful careers. I mean, you know, but those things, they don't necessarily add anything to our soul. I mean, God wants us to have, for lack of a better way of saying it, He wants us to have a fat soul.
Yeah.
He wants us to be enlarged. He wants our capacity enlarged. He wants us to be enlarged so that we can keep receiving that which is eternal, that which is real, not to focus on the temporal, which is passing and fleeting, but something more substantial.
Yeah, that prosperity gospel gets me hot under the collar, because Jesus, that was not His message. And really, in death, John 12, in death there's fruit. The seed has to die, and then there's fruit. To heap these things for our own lusts, the end is just misery. But when we can share what God has so graciously given to others, to use our resources for the glory of God, guess what? God will give you more. God will give you, I remember one businessman said, I tithe on the money that I want to make. And his business tripled. Why is it? Because he had his expectation, and he was anointed. He was gifted to be a giver. So anointed, like Jesus anointed the eyes of the blind man. We need that anointing to pierce through and remove the veil. And
it makes all the difference.
Yes, yes, yes.
Praise God. If you could scroll down a little bit, we want to share from what Dominique wrote to us. He said, thanks, Pastor, for this excellent message. I agree totally with what you just shared, which was God needs first to break our hearts so that we can minister through His compassion to those who have broken hearts. That's exactly how I feel these days, and I pray that God will do me the favor to use me for those in need. And of course, Dominique lost his wife to cancer. She went home to be with the Lord, and can't imagine how challenging and difficult that an experience that would have to go, to go through. And he's gone through it, and you just have to believe that God is going to use him. Pastor Stevens used to say that in the area in which we personally suffer is the area that God gives us a personal anointing.
Mm.
And I think that that makes so much sense, you know, because Dominique will now be able to minister to people in a way that perhaps some of us will not be able to minister to those people through and with. But because he now has this, really, he has this anointing in this area.
Yeah.
And God will use him as someone who can bring consolation and comfort and hope and perspective to those who are going to go through something similar.
Yeah, he promises to bind up the brokenhearted, and maybe things are not restored the way we think, but there's an eternal addition. Maybe there's an anointing of joy. Maybe there's an anointing of discernment. How about that, Pastor Love? We need such discernment today. The devil is so crafty that he promises to enlighten our eyes, to really see things. And we were talking with the Ukrainians today and we do a class in Kiev, and there's a lot going on in the Ukraine, but you know what's going, you know, their hearts are fixed. They're anointed, and they're just excited to see what God's going to do. I mean, they're incredible people.
Yeah.
Our Greater Grace Church in Kiev.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So can you tell us, can you give us a little bit more insight as to what they're thinking about? Because we're hearing about it daily here. I mean, every hour on the news programs, we're hearing about the possibility of Russia moving into Ukraine and a full-scale war. And you even hear, you even hear things like as many as 60,000 Ukrainian citizens could perish if this attack or this war were to break out. What are their thoughts? What's going through their minds?
Yeah, I can say just carefully here that, of course, there is concern when you got 120,000 troops surrounding your country. But what I love is there's almost like this rest, like, okay, if we perish, we perish. Not to be flippant like that, but they're so fixed. They understand that, okay, we are the Lord's, and God holds it all in his hands. I mean, it's a significant situation, obviously, but they are relaxed. They're fervent. The churches are full. We have refugees coming from the east. Since the first thing in 2014, a lot have gone west, and filled up our churches. We have 5 churches in the Ukraine, and it just seems like there's been growth. Because in tragedy or difficulty or oppression or threat of destruction, people's values certainly become simplified. And I just got to say, they're deep. They're deep people, because the word brings you deep. Otherwise, you're just living in panic. And just talking with Pastor Andrei there in Kiev, and we've been in touch with our brothers in Odessa and Lviv, Ukraine. They are just, their eyes are fixed on the Lord.
That's glad. That's great to hear.
And they're waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
Because we know the history there. I mean,
yeah.
The history is quite incredible.
We're praying for them, praying for all those saints there. And you know, you've heard in some of the news reports as well, just speaking to average Ukrainian citizens, I mean, they are like, you know, we will defend our country. We will fight for our country. This is our land. And you know, they don't want to be invaded, and they don't want to be overtaken. And
the numbers are incredible. Actually, the numbers that you're hearing on the news are conservative. But I remember speaking with one Ukrainian when they were 14 in high school. They were blindfolded, taking apart their gun and putting it back together. I mean, they are incredibly resourceful people. The average Ukrainian knows about 4 languages. There's a lot of gifts there, but what really strikes me is these are amazing disciples.
Yeah.
They've been discipled. my brother planted that church starting in 1991. Mm. So they've been connected to us for a lot of years, and they are. And now this is Esther 4:14. This is a time for, we're here for such a time as this. So we see three generations of Ukrainians now.
Wow.
Growing up in the church. And yeah, we're just praying for safety. We're praying for a de-escalation, obviously, and we're praying for people to know God. There's great demonstrations on the streets of preaching and evangelism. People are coming to Christ in an incredible way there.
Praise God.
Yep.
Well, Father, we do pray for all of the precious believers in the country of Ukraine, especially those that we know and that are connected with us here as part of our ministry. So we pray for them. Again, give them a peace that passes understanding. We pray, Father, that this crisis could be resolved without bloodshed, without war, without, again, any other countries crossing their border and threatening them and their peace. So we just pray for the country and that this would be resolved. And we just pray for, good news to lie ahead. And bless them, Father. And may the gospel continue to be proclaimed by your people in that part of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, just a couple of minutes left in the broadcast today. It's been a great week because this theme about the anointing is so important. And yesterday's message from Pastor Stevens, which was entitled Living in the Anointing of the Body of Christ, was very, very powerful. Lots of folks have listened to that message as of yesterday, and some have listened to the archive message from that Grace Hour broadcast, and we've heard an overwhelming response here at the Grace Hour studios about what it meant to them. So let's continue to live in God's anointing, and remember, each of us has that anointing, and God gave it to you through His Spirit when He called you, when He chose you, when He made you His own, and you're anointed for service. You're anointed to preach the gospel. You're anointed in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships with others. You are the anointed people of God. And remember, that anointing is a sacred appointment. Final thoughts, Pastor Jason, as we wrap up our broadcast today?
Yeah, just there's a shout of the King among you, and that He is well aware of where you are. He's equipped you. He's ordained you. John 15:16, He will produce fruit as you turn to Him. And nothing happens to you without His permission. And nothing will happen without His provision. That's our personal God. That's our personal Savior. Thankful for that.
Amen. And Kate has written, and she's praying for Julie, and Julie will be praying for you as well. Father, just touch our precious sister, Julie, a regular listener here to the Grace Hour, and joining us again on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. So bless her today, Father, and her family. And we pray that she'd have a peace that also passes understanding, and that you would put in her heart a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And for your name's sake, we pray these things. Amen. God bless you, Julie. Thanks so much for joining us, friends, not only for today's broadcast, but throughout this week. It's been a great week. And once again, we do want to remind those that may be listening locally, just two more weeks left for our broadcast on our local station, WRBS. And soon we will be, we're going to be already on many different platforms. We'll talk about that next week so that you know how to find us and how to join us on a daily basis here at the Grace Hour. Have a great weekend, friends. So we're going to be back, God willing, Monday for our next live broadcast. Please join us then.
Thanks for listening to the Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.